How should the Christian view management and labor relationships? We're going to be looking in Ephesians chapter 6 and continuing our study here of this wonderful book. And we're going to be noticing especially what Paul tells those who are working for others, what their responsibilities are and what their attitude should be. We just finished looking at family relationships. We looked at the husband-wife relationship in the last part of chapter 5. The first part of chapter 6, Paul is emphasizing what the relationship, the attitude should be between parents and children. And children are to obey their parents, and parents in turn are to be compassionate and understanding and not harsh, not be irritating, not make unnecessary demands. He says, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now, let's begin with Ephesians 6 and verse 5. Servants, be obedient unto them that according to the flesh are your masters, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not in the way of eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as unto the Lord and not unto men, knowing that whatsoever good thing each one doeth, the same shall he receive again from the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters do the same things unto them, and forbear threatening, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no respect of persons with him. Paul here is speaking especially to these who are slaves. Now, we don't have relationships like that today in the world. We don't have people being bought and sold, men and women and children, and treated just like objects instead of as persons. But in Paul's day, it was very common. Slavery was very common. And throughout the whole ancient world, that was true. Slaves might be captured in war. And then there were some that were just born into slavery. And they lived their lives as slaves. Now, this wasn't true of any particular race or color. It covered all the different races. Now, if someone were a slave in those days, and suppose he became a Christian, he came to know the Lord, he came to realize that he had worth and value to God, and that he was not just a piece of property, but he was a person made in the image of God, of infinite value, worth enough that Christ came into the world and gave his life on the cross for him to pay for his sin. Now here's someone who's a slave, and he comes to this knowledge, and he accepts Christ. He believes that on the cross Christ died for him. And he just says, Lord Jesus, I want you to save me, and I make you my Lord and my master. Now, at that moment, his whole outlook could change toward himself and toward others around him. Maybe for years he had the thought he wasn't really much good. He wasn't worth very much. He was a piece of property. Now he becomes a child of God. He's a child of the King. He has an eternal destiny. He's going to be with God and like the Lord Jesus forever. What a change, you see, in his attitude then. But as far as his earthly relationships are concerned, he's still a slave. As far as society is concerned, he's still a slave. And Paul does not say to him, reject that position in society and revolt. Use violence. He doesn't say to him, kill your master. Slavery is an awful thing. Break those shackles by force. He doesn't say that. Christianity does not change society by force. the teachings of Christ would change the individual, and then as more and more individuals are changed, that impact will be felt in society. But the Lord never told his disciples to fight with a sword. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, then he said, my followers would fight for me. So that here Paul encourages obedience. And he says that you shouldn't resent your relationship. You shouldn't fight against it. You shouldn't be rebellious. You shouldn't be defiant. You shouldn't be angry. Instead, he says your attitude now should be one of a wholehearted obedience. Now, it is true that if a person, a slave, were to have the opportunity to be free, he should use that. Paul says that in 1 Corinthians 7. I want to read some of the verses here. Verse 20, he says, let each man remain in that condition in which he was called, in that state in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not worry about it. But if you're able to become free, rather do that. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. So he says, don't worry about it if you're a slave. You just remember that you're God's freed man. You're freed from the shackles of sin and bondage to Satan. You're free. Spiritually, you're free. And remember that if your owner becomes a Christian, in turn, he will become Christ's slave. The gospel levels. The gospel brings all to the place of acknowledging their sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so whether a man is free or slave or rich or poor or educated or illiterate, the gospel says you've all failed. And if you're going to experience God's grace, you will come on the same footing. God shows no partiality. There's no respect of persons with him. And if you're going to know his grace, if you're going to be saved, then you will come as a sinner, regardless of your state in society. So that here Paul is emphasizing the fact that the gospel levels us in our sin, and then it raises us, raises the slave. The one who is the property of another here on earth, it brings him into a relationship of sonship with God. And it also, of course, brings the other man, whether he's slave or free, whether he's an owner or he is a slave, it puts him on the same level. He comes in too as Christ's free man, but also because of this relationship with God, he is a slave of the Lord Jesus. He belongs to the Lord Jesus, bought with a price. Now, we are blessed here in this country and in much of the Western world with democracy. We can make social changes peacefully. You can vote. We have so many liberties. The culture and the society in which Paul was living did not have those. And there was slavery, and people could not really change that condition except by violence and perhaps die in the process. We can, by our example and by our encouragement, by our taking part in democratic processes, we can bring about changes peacefully. And so we're very blessed. But notice here how he talks then about the slave and the owner and emphasizes right attitudes and actions are very important. And we can carry this over into our society and into our culture. And we can say that today, we who are free and can choose a job or leave it, what should be our attitude? Should we view the employer as our adversary. Too often in labor and management, it's a war, isn't it? Labor is fighting management. And there's warfare. Paul instead says there ought to be a spirit of cooperation and a spirit of humility, not antagonism. The attitude of the worker should be, he should respect his employer. He should have singleness of heart. I think this is what he emphasizes here in verse 5. He says, in singleness of heart. In other words, sincerity. Be sincere as you serve your employer. He goes on to say, be enthusiastic. Do your service from the heart, doing the will of God from the heart. God's will for you, if you're a believer, is that you do your work wholeheartedly, that you're sincere in doing it, that you're not hypocritical in any way, that you respect the position of your employer, that you do everything possible to make him successful and make that business succeed. And Paul says this should be the attitude of the slave even toward his owner. And certainly we can say it should be the attitude of those of us who live in a more free world toward employers. And I think employers, if they realize they're those that are working for them, are really wholehearted and doing a good job and anxious to see their business succeed, their attitude is going to be right toward their employees. Now, he does emphasize the fact here that masters should have a right attitude. Owners of the slaves in that day, or employers today, should have a right attitude. He says, you do the same things to them. You treat them with respect. They are persons with dignity made in the image of God. And you treat them fairly. You be sincere. And you be kind. Don't threaten. Don't be harsh. Don't be demanding. Don't be unreasonable. Treat them fairly. Because he says, remember, one day, you are going to stand before God and be judged for the way you treated your employees, even as the employees will be judged for the way they responded and their attitude and their action toward you, whether they were wholehearted and did a good piece of work. You know, Christianity affects every part of life, doesn't it? That's what Paul is saying here. It isn't something you just do on Sunday. It's something you do Monday morning. The way you do your work, your attitude toward your employee, your attitude toward your employer, the way you work can be an act of worship for God and for Him and will be rewarded by Him in a coming day.